Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise. Well, we got all dressed up. We came out the house. Came to church. So we might as well have church this morning. I came here this morning not only bringing the Lord with me, but expecting him to be here when I got here. And the first song they sung was Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. What a time. Thank you. Thank you, choir. First, I'd like to give honor to God for his goodness and his mercy, and thanks to the Tabernacle Baptist Church and to the deacons who allow us to have this opportunity to minister to you. And we don't take it lightly once we get up here in front of this sacred desk. We don't take it lightly, not at all. I have family here this morning that did not stand, but they from Cincinnati said, oh, we had to be recognized. I have my cousin, Sonny Revels, who, if you remember, he was on the sick list. He was in the hospital. Then he was on healing at home list. And then this week, I took him off the list. And look at what God has done. He's in the house. And then his daughter with him, Shanae. Some of y'all might remember Shanae. She is the one who set up everything downstairs last year for the Crowns Day. So I'm just thankful to have Ralph Sonny Revels and Shanae Revels in the house this morning. He trying to look like I'm not talking to him, but I am. Thank God. To all the ministers who labor in the ministry with me, to all the ministries in this house who volunteer their time to keep the house running, I thank you for the work that you do. A lot of times you don't get any thanks, but I thank you for all the work that you do in this house. To the Tabernacle family here and to the Tabernacle family out on the World Wide Web, I say good morning to you. Good morning to you. Before I go any further, I'd like to pray. If you don't mind bowing your heads with me just for a moment. Even now, Lord, even now. Lord, I thank you for this moment right here in time. Lord, you have appointed this time. You appointed this moment and you appointed this word. I ask you to bless this word in a mighty way. Lord, I ask you for a touch where it needs to be touched, heal where it needs to be healed. Lord, I thank you and praise you for the opportunity to speak to your people. I ask right now in the mighty name of Jesus that I will just decrease while you increase. Lord, I love you, I praise you, and I magnify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I do pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Amen, amen. Only God can make a day. And if he gives you that day, he will surely give you the bread that you need for that day. Ushers, you may be seated. Whew, I just have to take a big breath right now. I have been running from this sermon for almost 6 months. Running. Y'all heard the term, it's slow walk you down. Well, this sermon has slow walk me down. Slow walk me down. I understand today if I don't get any amens or any hallelujahs today, but it's not my will, it's God's will to be done. I wanted a different sermon, and he said no. It has caused me to be irritable all week. I've been trying to get away from it, but the Lord said, do it. So don't beat me up afterwards. Just say that was the message and she was the messenger. Amen. Amen. If you don't mind standing for the reading of the scripture, and turn, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51 in the King James Bible. Psalm 51 in the King James Bible. And it reads like this. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speak and be clear when thou judgest. And skip down to verse number 7, and it says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, Lord, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, only then, will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. God bless you. You may sit down. I never did have a title for this sermon. I was running from it. I had to keep writing it, and I was running from it. I had notes here and scraps of pieces here and there and stuff in my head, stuff on my phone. And I was just running from it, really. But every time the Lord would give me something, I would put it down somewhere. I'm not sure if it was behind this desk that I mentioned that we all, and all means all, that we all need to seriously read this psalm as often as possible. As often as possible. I love the Bible. It really doesn't matter the version you read, but that you understand the reading and the intent of the scripture you read. The Bible should be as food for us as believers. Matthew says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is essential reading for knowing God and his salvation. We cannot save ourselves. Salvation is a gift. When you read the psalm where it seems like I'm stuck at right now, you don't read it, that text, the same way you would read Romans or Acts. The verses of the Proverbs and the Psalms are presented in English words, but basically are from a different language. We know that the Psalms are songs and divided into 5 sections, and basically most of them was written by David. There are other Psalms that are scattered throughout the Bible, other songs, But we have 150 of them right here in this book. Most of them were attributed to David. Everybody knows David. Does everybody know who David is? Amen. Somebody's out there. Okay. David was a Renaissance man. He was a warrior. He was a philosopher, a poet, a musician, and a king. He had previously been a shepherd before he became all these things. We have modern day Renaissance men who are people like Clint Eastwood, Bill Gates, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Jamie Foxx, George Foreman, Jimmy Carter, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Bono. That's just to name a few. So you kind of understand you have men that just don't do just one thing real good. They do a whole bunch of things real good. David was a man who had risen from a fairly low place to a very high place. He had God's favor. He had God's ear. His psalms are often prayer, sometimes complaints, many times praise. He was bold enough to say what he had to say to God. He was bold enough to go to God when he needed to go to God. He didn't hide behind what he did. But occasionally you read a psalm like Psalm 51, and it's in a group called the sorrowful or the remorseful or the regretful psalms. And some of those are Psalm 6, if you're writing anything down, Psalm 6, Psalm 32, 38, 102, and 130 and 143. These are psalms of confession, psalm of repentance, psalm of brokenness, cries for mercy, and cries for forgiveness. If you wrote down Psalm 32, the first two verses of that says, "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty." So when you get your opportunity to read the Bible, you need to go back and read some of these psalms. Many psalms have been big picture stories in the background of them. Stories of lament and persecution for sickness and calamity and how the Lord brought them through. Those psalms show God is a great protector of the weak and a protector for the helpless, and a defender for the oppressed. God will not leave his people in their circumstances. But the repentant psalm have a different kind of story in the background. Here it is. Not, "Oh God, protect us." Here it is, not, "Oh God, protect us, or defend us, or avenge us, deliver us." This is moral failure. Moral failure, covenant failure, and sin. Moral failure, do you even admit when you have a moral failure in your life? What about covenant failure? Covenant failure. When you make a covenant with God, covenant with God and somebody else, and you do not hold up your part of that covenant. In the Old Testament, biblical days, if you fail to hold up your covenant, the Bible says that you can be, your spirit and your soul can be torn apart, and your blood spewed all on the ground like an animal at the slaughter for breaking the covenant. Some people say covenant and just, you know, you just saying covenant. But a covenant, when you make a covenant with the Lord, that is a serious covenant. Yeah. And you need to do all you can do to hold on to that covenant. Amen. All you can do. Amen. There's a cry for deliverance and a prayer for forgiveness. This story is probably the biggest backstory in all the Psalms, even in the inscription. Before you even start reading it, it tells you, to the chief musician, to the minister of music, it says, a psalm of David, a psalm of King David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. You get all this information before you even start reading the psalm. In 1 Kings 5:5, it says, David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he had commanded all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Uriah the Hittite. That story of Uriah the Hittite is located in 2 Samuel 11 and 12. And you have to read that whole story. You have to read that whole story to get a better understanding of Psalm 51. I'm going to try my best to paraphrase that story. But it's a long story, but you need to read it. But I'm going to do my best real quick right here. The story of David and Bathsheba is one of the most dramatic accounts in the Old Testament. At that particular time, there was no Me Too movement. No Me Too movement, okay? One night in Jerusalem, King David was walking upon his rooftop, and when he spotted a woman on the rooftop bathing nearby, saying, number one, David had no business looking. He knew what was going on that roof. He had some wives. He know what goes on the roof. They go up there to take a bath. He was a grown man. He knew better. David asked his servants about her. He couldn't even stop there. He got to go inquire. And was told that she was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of David's mighty men. Now here King David is at home, and he got warriors out on the field fighting battles. And Uriah was chief among them. He was a great warrior. Despite her marital status, King David summoned Bathsheba to the palace, and there was no Me Too movement. You hear me? A lot of times they want to paraphrase and turn this around and say, well, she had no business out there taking a bath on the roof. Well, that's where you had to go take a bath at. They didn't have no showers that you go into, bathrooms that you close the door. After her time was up, she had to go clean herself. And so she had to go to the roof, trying to get some privacy. He knew what was going on. No Me Too movement. They slept together. That was the first sin. Don't put it on Bathsheba, because he was the king. He was the king. You don't defy the king. Make that clear. Sin number two. Bathsheba later discovered she was pregnant, and she told King David. The king's reaction was to attempt to hide his sin. Whew, God have mercy. David commanded Uriah to report back to him from the battle. Come home, Uriah. Come on home. Bathsheba's husband answered the call when David summoned. David sent him home, hoping that Uriah would go home to his wife, Bathsheba. This was done in order to provide a cover-up for the pregnancy. Instead of obeying David's orders, Uriah slept in the quarters of the palace servants, refusing to take a break with Bathsheba while his men was on the battlefield where they were still in harm's way. Uriah did the same thing the next night, showing integrity in contrast to David's lack of, he didn't have no integrity. Because sin number one would not have gotten him. If he had not did sin number one, we wouldn't be here sin number three. We're at number three. It became apparent that David and Bathsheba's adultery could not be covered up. David and Bathsheba's. Now, I'm going to put her name up in there. That was David's adultery. She had no choice. He was the king. What would happen if the king gave an order and you say no? Might not look good for you. Might not look good. So David enacted a second, more evil plan. He commanded his military leader, Joab, who was his nephew. And if you don't know about Joab, you need to read about Joab. Joab was like the godfather. If he kissed you on your cheek, that means he was getting ready to kill you. I'm so serious. You need to read about Joab. He did not play around. Sent his military leader, Joab, his nephew, to Uriah on the front lines of battle. Then purposefully fall back from him, leaving Uriah exposed to the enemy for attack. Joab followed the directive that was right down his alley, and Uriah was killed in battle. We done went from looking on the roof to murder. After her time of mourning, Bathsheba married David, and they gave birth to a son. But this thing David did displeased the Lord. Sometimes you just need to watch what you say and the things that you do, especially when you have forgotten about your own sins. Your cover-up does not hide your sin from the Lord. It does not hide your sin from the Lord. There is a phrase that is biblical that says, you reap what you sow. But there's another street meaning says, what goes around comes around. All humans, even the best of them, even the most of them that have been converted have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't all sin the same way. We do not sin as much as we did before we were saved, but we do sin. But God is omniscient, all-knowing and all-seeing. That is why David's cover did not hide his sin from God. When we blow it with God, it is better that to deal with it first, quickly, without excuses, without an argument. And the only appeal that carries weight with God is a cry for mercy. The Lord will give you mercy, something that you do not deserve. Not justice, but mercy. That is the key to understanding and applying Psalm 51, a cry for mercy. When you are caught, I mean really caught, what is your first impulse? Do we run to Psalm 51? Do we ask God for a clean heart and a right spirit? Most times we don't even acknowledge our sin. We just keep it moving. We need to cry out to mercy, to cry out to God for mercy, not justice. Justice will take us out. Justice will take us out. I can't even imagine what pure justice would look like for us or for David. Have you ever thought about what real justice for the sins you have committed, what would it look like for you? Bathsheba is part of the story, but the events is referred to as the matter of Uriah the Hittite. The prophet Nathan is called by God to bring a hard truth to the king. Today we talk about speaking truth to power, referring to the responsibility of bringing the gospel values to the Tabernacle Baptist Church, bringing the gospel to those outside the ark of safety, while we are not prophets in the sense of Nathan. Our responsibility is to bring the truth to bear on our own situations. Bring the truth to bear on our own situations. Going to Psalm 51. There's a 17th century poet that says, "The wheels of justice turn slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine." So don't worry, your sins will catch up with you. The Bible says when David and Bathsheba's child was born, the Lord sent a prophet to confront David. Nathan used a parable about a rich man who took a poor man's only sheep and killed it, even though he had many flocks of his own. David, a former shepherd, was so angered by this story, which he thought was true, that he responded, "As surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die." Ooh-wee. "He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity." And then Nathan pointed at David and said, "You are the man." You pronounce a judgment on somebody else and thinking it's somebody else, but it's really you. So you don't even have to watch YNRGH. Just read the Bible. You don't have to watch the stories. Just read the Bible. It's the same difference. David was one that was guilty of the sin. Judgment would be upon his house in the form of ongoing violence. Just because he looked out on the roof when he should have turned his head. Do you see how simple sin can come up on you? Just from one little glance. He should have just turned his head and kept it moving. Asked Joab or some of his servants, "Is there any way you can put a partition up over there? Or something?" But no, no. The scripture says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness." See, when you do sin, you don't tell us about it. You don't say, "Oh, I messed up. I done sinned. I done messed up." You don't tell us about it. And then you won't even tell God about it. But it's something that'll bear down on your soul. It'll bear down on your soul. And the Lord wants us to have a clean heart and a right spirit. But you can't do that when you got sin bearing down on your soul. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. You can't have evil and love in the same spot. They do not dwell together. They do not dwell together. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." This is something we need to say every day when we get up to pray. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence. I don't know what it will feel like to be out of the presence of God, and I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't understand how people can make it through this life without God. It's hard enough with God, but to try to make it without him is unbearable. I can't even believe it. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. And it says, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. That is the only, we got to have a clean heart. We cannot go into the community. We cannot invite people in. We cannot minister to people if we got a dirty, filthy heart. It says, after you created me a clean heart, it says, then I will be able to teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted. That is the goal. The Lord said, go ye therefore. Okay? And that's the goal, to teach sinners and so they will be converted. That's the goal. But you cannot do this when your heart is bound down with sin and guilt. You can't do it. You have to repent. You have to repent. Boozer, why are you talking about all this? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Starting next month, we will have almost 2 months of events on the calendar. It's going to be time consuming. It's not going to be easy. We may get tired along the way, but we have to be committed. We have to be committed to this. Because in 2024, we will be starting a new marriage with pastor and congregation. We cannot compare the new pastor to Pastor Thompson. We cannot compare the new pastor to Pastor Graves. We cannot compare the new pastor to the last pastor. We can't go looking for stuff once the pastor is installed. We must be already developed, steadfast, a clean heart, and a right spirit, so that we will have the spirit of fellowship. We can't go into this with all this muck and mire all inside of us. We're not standing on it. It's in us now. You know, you say the Lord pulled me up out the muck and mire. Well, the muck and mire that's in us, we got to get it out, period. It's got to go. It's got to go. It's got to go, period. We have to have a spirit of fellowship. Not a spirit of tradition, not a spirit of, oh, look how God has blessed us. No, we can't have that's the ditty stuff. Can't have it, cannot have it. We need to be praying for our pastor now. Now. Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't say, you can't think, and you can't feel like that is not how Pastor Thompson did it. Or how Pastor Graves did it. And I understand all this all too well. You may be thinking I'm critical, but I am not. I understand all this. My first pastor was pastor for 33 years. And he was a native Daytonian from Corinthian Baptist Church over here. Up here in Dayton. And then last Saturday, my home pastor celebrated his 35th pastoral anniversary and the church's 155th anniversary. And a lot of tradition went in those first 33 years with Pastor Maxie. You don't go into something and be in it that long till you don't believe this is the only way to do it. When you do something for 30 years, this is the only way to do it, because we've been doing it for 30 years. It's hard to break loose from that. But without the spirit of fellowship, Pastor Smith would have not celebrated his last the 35 years on last Saturday. We got to pray, church. We got to pray. Not just lip service prayer when we read the believer's prayer, just saying the words, you know, just like Sister Jackson said, pray with me in spirit for real prayer. We got to pray for real. We got to get serious with every word that is written in that prayer. Write your own prayer. Write your own prayer. You know better than anybody. You know what needs to be cleaned out of your heart. You know what needs to be cleaned out of your heart. Some churches didn't get the second chance after the pandemic. But we one of the ones that did. Now the opportunity is to go forth for the kingdom. We had to go forth, but we got to go forth with a pure heart. We had to be clean. We got to clean ourselves up. We look good this morning. We all look good. And I can't even believe that I'm matching y'all this morning. Nobody even called to tell me. We all cleaned up today on the outside. But we got to get the SOS pad to the inside. And y'all know what that is. You know, they got all that new stuff that you spray and wipe away. Now we got to do some scrubbing. We got to do some scrubbing. We got to clean ourselves up. I know some of y'all just tired. Some of you don't care. And then some people don't even care to know. I just don't want to hear no more. I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear no more. But I am talking to those that have a stake in the February 1929 tabernacle. Those are the ones I'm talking to. The ones who do care. The ones who do believe in tabernacle. And do believe that we have come this far by faith. The only way to do that is to allow yourselves to be purged of all the negativity. You will not believe the stuff I've already heard. We only had two sermons. I'm talking about the negative stuff. I heard some good stuff. But the negative already, you don't even know these people. They just got a name and a sermon. You got to take your hands off. Let God be God. Let God be God. He's the one going to be doing the choosing. Purged of all these murmurings. Oh. We got to purge ourselves to have an open heart and an open mind. I was not part of the 1929 body of tabernacle. I am part of this body now. I am now a part of the Tabernacle Baptist Church. And I want tabernacle to go forward victoriously. Victoriously. It's not going to do any of us any good if we try to cover up the sins like David tried to cover up, because they're going to weigh you down. They're going to weigh you down. Nathan said, you are the man. You are the woman. You are the church. We are a tabernacle. In order for us to be able to reach people in the church, to reach people in the community, we must have a clean heart. A clean heart and a right spirit. We got to get rid of all that negativity that happened. You know when it happened. I ain't got to keep saying when it happened. You know when it happened. You got to get rid of all that. We got to go forward, excited, looking for a miracle. Looking for a miracle, expecting God to do mighty and wondrous things. But we got to do it with a clean heart. We can't do it with an old, nasty, yucky heart. I wasn't here during Pastor Thompson, Pastor Graves years, but I can imagine from my own experience. I can imagine. But those days are gone. They just gone. Life changed. Everything flipped. digital has taken over. The people that were here, that are not here, that are maybe watching on YouTube and Facebook, I appreciate it. I appreciate you watching. But don't worry about them not coming back, because there's other people out there that's going to come in. Don't even worry about that. Don't worry about that. You can't count on this 1, 2, 3. Mm-mm. God said he'll send a multitude. So, but we got to get ourselves straightened out to be ready, prepared for the multitude. If a multitude was to come in here, what you going to tell them? You got the speech of salvation to give to them? What you going to tell them? You know the story about Jesus and tell them right off the top of your head? What you going to tell them? We got to get ourselves ready for the multitude. And the multitude is coming. I see it right now coming in the doors. The multitude is coming. But we got to be prepared to receive it. We have to be prepared to receive it. And appreciate the ones that are here. I thank God for the people that are here. Especially for the ones that are still here. Because some of us got sick, broke down. The Lord brought us back up. Mm-mm. We need a new pastor to grow us spiritually, to grow us in numbers, but we need to have the right spirit. We got to have the right spirit of fellowship. This is all brand new. This will be all brand new. Things are never going to be the same. The shepherd cannot lead the sheep if the sheep are not obedient to the spirit. If you got sheep running all over here, running all over here, you know, talking to this people, these sheep over here in this pasture, gossiping over here with these other sheep, that's not going to work. It's just not going to work. Billy Graham used to say, I read the Bible cover to cover. I know how the story ends. God wins. If God wins, and he does, then the church, the body of Christ wins. That's us. We need to be victorious. Lord, please find us faithful. Lord, find us faithful. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, blot out our transgressions. Lord, wash me. Lord, purge me with hospice. Lord, allow me to hear joy and gladness. Lord, find us with a clean heart and a right spirit. Find us with a clean heart and a right spirit. Lord, find us faithful. Lord, find us faithful. Lord, give us your spirit so that we can teach transgressors your ways. Lord, find us faithful. Lord, find us faithful. Lord, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. You've been faithful over a few things, and now I want to make you ruler over men. Don't let Jesus Christ go onto the cross be in vain. Amen. His blood was shed for your clean heart. He was beat up, spit upon for your clean heart. He was nailed to an old rugged cross for your clean heart. He bled for your clean heart. And then he died for your clean heart. But it wasn't over then. It wasn't over then. The Bible says, on the third day, on that Sunday morning, that he got up with all power in his hands. All power in his hands. He died for your clean heart. He rose for your clean heart. He lives now for your clean heart. You cannot expect great things if you don't change your heart. We all need a heart transplant in here. take out the old heart, the dirty heart, and get a brand new heart. I'm so excited. I'm excited to get a new pastor and to go and see how far God is going to take us. But you got to have a clean heart. You cannot do all this murmuring and bickering. You can't do it. You got to stop it. It's got to be stopped. Lord, please find us faithful. Lord, please find us faithful. To God be the glory. God bless you.